You're listening to WCOM LP Chapel Hill and Carrboro 103.5 FM on your radio dial. Freedom of expression is essential to a free society. And this is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. Your host, Claudio, Renaissance man and bard of WCOM, has opened the doors once again on this fine morning.
I is here.
Uh-huh. And we're inviting you in to find a seat, get comfortable. This is a place where you're always welcome and can always expect the best.
Good morning,
Claudio.
Audrey. Good morning.
What are you up to these days?
Waking up, actually, this morning, it's amazing how you can put 50 miles on the car, get out, and feel like you just stepped out of bed.
Yes.
That's kind of what happened.
That's scary. That's scary, considering.
For anyone behind or in front of you, is that what you're saying?
Yes, exactly. Or whatever, on the road.
Yes.
So, but we've got a good day going here.
Absolutely.
And that was just George Winston you were listening to, people. That was Pixie.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. One of my favorites. I really enjoyed meeting him, too, at the Carolina Theater. On a very quick note, to acknowledge the Carolina Theater before we go on with the show today. And by the way, good morning, Chapel Hill and Carrboro and the World Wide Web, whoever's tuning us in. Thank you for doing so. At the Carolina Theater of Durham, which is our primary sponsor here at the Speakeasy and Radio Theater, starting in October, we have Mavis Staples coming up, David Sanborn Trio featuring Joey DeFrancesco. Also, Jeff Daniels, who apparently when he's not acting is also a wonderful singer-songwriter and really good on guitar. Also, Belly Dance Superstars present Bombay Bellywood. Mike Birbiglia.
I love these titles.
Yeah. Birbiglia, who's a comedian from Comedy Central. Shamikia Copeland, singer with a huge blast furnace voice, we're told. Betty Buckley, Broadway by request. Natalie McMaster, Christmas in Cape Breton. Disney's Choo Choo Soul with Genevieve. Kathleen Madigan. That'll be actually next year in January. And then this all follows into next year. The Max Weinberg Big Band. I think Max Weinberg, if I'm afraid, not mistaken, was Conan O'Brien's late night band. Harlem Gospel Choir, Jim Brickman, who'll be doing
the
beautiful
Harlem Gospel
world.
Choir, they're great.
Yes, who'll be doing A Beautiful World. And also I know the friend and fellow we had on last week, Carl
Wetter.
Wetter is very pleased to have Hot Tuna Blues coming on there, starring Hot Tuna, Charlie Musselwhite, and Jim Lauderdale. That's coming up in February. And in March, we have Vienna Tang and Alex Wong, which she's a singer-pianist and percussionist. Ladysmith Black Mambazo, who I think comes to the theater every year now. And I'm very pleased to say that one of my absolute favorite people, Judy Collins, is coming back in March. Dance Theater of Harlem Ensemble, Dance for America Tour. The Five Browns, who are Juilliard-trained siblings, classical music's first family of piano virtuosos, suffice it to say. And then Motherload. The hilarious off-Broadway comedy features confessions from the front lines of motherhood and the real life of creator and star Amy Wilson, the author of How Did I Get Like This? Things My Mother Never Told Me. That's my input. And of course, when I once again give a big congratulations out to Bob Nocek, the new president CEO of Durham's historic Carolina Theater. So that's it. That's all you get, Carolina Theater.
But look how much we get from the Carolina
Theater. Yes, wonderful. And actually, I've told Bob is committed to coming on again with his partner, Matt, at some point. So mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to that. The person we have on today is going to be calling in from Brooklyn.
Ah, Brooklyn.
If the Brooklyn streets don't stop him. I like Brooklyn. I lived there myself for a while.
Well, my mother was born in Brooklyn.
Ah, well
then.
Yes. We're going native this morning.
Yes, we are.
And just to fully explain who Stefan Crump is, he's with the Rosetta Trio, and they're featuring a new album called Reclamation. He's going to be calling in at about 10:10. And I thought the best way for me to properly introduce the man and give him his proper respect would be to read this press release, something I normally would do more in translation, but this seems to really have a good grip on him. Referring to the album that we're going to be playing today while chatting with him, an intimately powerful album of original compositions performed by acoustic bass with electric and acoustic guitars. It was released on April 20th, 2010 on Sunnyside Records, featuring Crump with Liberty Ullman and Jamie Foxx. As a bassist and composer, Mr. Crump avoids obvious routes but manages never to lose his way. And that statement was made by Nate Chinen of the New York Times. Reclamation is Stefan Crump's debut on Sunnyside Records, featuring 9 intensely personal compositions, including the polyglot Pernambuco, an extended work commissioned by 92nd Street Y and New York Guitar Festival. Reclamation is a declaration of a unique, new compositional voice and a fresh statement from a formidable chamber ensemble, which is what his trio is. I like this little definition given of reclamation. The conversion of usable land, for example, desert or marsh, into land suitable for farming or other uses. The extraction of useful substances from waste or refuse. The claiming back of something taken or given away. Well, if we want to look at our political spectrum, I think we've got a lot of things to take back. And they need to take back a few things they've said.
Well, you know, you can get, I particularly can get a little furious with the way the land is used, particularly,
yes,
because it's being destroyed.
I agree.
The ability of the earth to produce food is being wasted.
Absolutely. I have no idea what this sudden epidemic of deforestation is.
It's deforestation, it's misuse of land, using artificial means to grow the types of crops that should be better grown somewhere else.
So it's everything in a hurry for the biggest monetary compensation instead of putting your soul in. Anyway, we digress.
Yes.
Back to Stefan Crump. The album's opening track, Memphis, delves into the theme with an loping wistfulness, as Crump honors that which his hometown has given him, while also conjuring a fitful goodbye. The intensity of overreach speaks to the self-destructive tendencies of his own country, while the epic Pernambuco looks outward from the Brazilian wood from which the bass bow was carved, to the whole history and the ravaging of a rich land's resources. Sort of fitting that we did touch on that subject.
Mm-hmm.
The introspective Escalateur is a song striving, ascending, while the center track warns of the ways technology can render us here, not here. Crump brought together Rosetta Trio for the first time in 2005 to record an album of pieces written in the aftermath of 9/11. That engaging and sublime meeting of Crump on acoustic bass with guitarists Liberty Elman and Jamie Foxx, whom we have incidentally had on the Speakeasy before, produced the album Rosetta, which was released in 2006 and greeted enthusiastically by fans, radio, and the press. Here is a string ensemble for the new century, raved Donald Elfman in All About Jazz, New York. Reclamation is much more than a follow-up effort to its ecstatically received predecessor, though it was the earlier album that gave the trio its name and its mission. To inhabit the dynamic and rhythmic flexibility of a drumless ensemble and embrace its challenges and expanded responsibilities, to reject restrictions of genre, to explore different territories of feel, texture, color, to groove. Here the trio further develops its intimate synergy and reveals its maturity after having toured and recorded in numerous contexts since those first sessions. This is a band. Many discerning jazz listeners have come to know Stefan Crump from his 10-year and counting association with Vijay Iyer, which has brought him brought forth the albums Panoptic Modes, Blood Sutra, In What Language, Tragic Comic, Reimaging, and the much celebrated Historicity. Interesting titles. Someone's got to be the Holy Spirit, representing your faith that this jazz will breathe, noted Ben Ratief in his New York Times review of a recent Lyer, trio performance in New York City. It's the bassist, of course, cutting through with big, wise, rounded notes. Stefan has worked for nearly as long with Liberty Elman, notably on the PI discs, Tactiles, and Officious Butterfly. And together with Jamie Foxx, Crump performs and records with his wife, the radiant singer-songwriter Jen Chapin, whom I might add is the daughter of famed Harry Chapin, whose recent albums Linger, Ready, and Light of Mine, he also co-produced. Busy fella.
Yes.
A lot of them, actually. I know Jen stays busy.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they're also raising a family. Since his arrival in New York over a decade ago, Krampus found it both natural and essential to be part of multiple music scenes. A child of Memphis, he is strongly influenced by the blues, R&B, rock, and soul music of his hometown, but also inspired by the classical traditions of his Parisian mother's native land. He's a pillar of the progressive jazz scene, but also works outside it, most often with eclectic, uncategorizables such as Telecaster Wizard Jim Campilongo's Electric Trio. Krampus' performances on both acoustic and electric bass have been heard on dozens of recordings and across the globe, with, among others, Joel Harrison, Bobby Previt, Mahavishnu Project, Patty Austin, Gordon Gano, Lucy Kaplansky, Big Ass Truck, and Johnny Clyde Copeland. Mm-hmm. His compositions can be heard in Miramax, HBO, Showtime, Bravo, Granada America, and Simple Focus Films, as well as on his earlier albums as a leader.
We might have him here.
As well as on his earlier albums as a leader, Poems and Other Things, 1997, Tuckahoe, 2001.
Good morning, you're on WCOM.
And Rosetta, 2006. Sorry, I just had to finish that. Hello, is this Stefan?
Yes, it is.
Ah, hooray.
Good morning and welcome to the Speakeasy. I'm just finishing the introduction on you.
Oh, great.
Give me one more paragraph here and I'll get right back to you.
Okay.
And to conclude, Allman and Fox were both fixtures on the San Francisco Bay Area scene and had toured internationally before arriving in New York in the 90s. Aside from his own critically acclaimed recording career, Allman has been featured as guitarist and producer in Henry Threadgill's innovative group, Zooid. I am assuming that's how one pronounces that. And has performed...
Yep.
Thank you. And has performed with other jazz visionaries such as Steve Coleman and Greg Osby. An accomplished jazz composer in his own right, Fox brings his idiosyncratic folk, R&B, and blues perspective that has contributed to the music of such legends as Joan Baez and Brother Jack McDuff. Well, that I just felt it, Stephen. I just felt, is it Stephen or shall I say Stefan?
Stefan.
I thought I wanted to give it its proper respect, but I've actually had somebody on the show before, and they insisted that Stefan was Stephen. I have no idea why they'd want to de-romanticize it like that. But anyway, welcome, and I really like the album. I thought we'd sort of interview you throughout, and then you can tell us what pieces you'd like us to play.
Oh, well, it'd be my pleasure, and thanks for having me.
Absolute pleasure. How is the family? How's Jen?
Jen's great, thank you. And we have two boys now, Maceo, who's five, or who's about to be five, and young Van, who's about to be one.
Oh, wonderful.
That'll keep you busy.
Yes, no doubt.
Beautifully busy, yeah.
No doubt. Are you guys jamming anywhere right now?
We are. Actually, Jenny has, we have a couple of gigs this weekend in this area. We were just out in Ohio and Pennsylvania last week, and then we have, we're doing playing out in Huntington, New York, out on Long Island, where she's from.
Uh-huh.
And then we're doing a house concert in our home on Saturday. We've been doing some benefit concerts every couple of months here in our home, which is...
I know that you guys enjoy the house concerts, actually. I enjoy
but hosting it is a new twist. To be host and perform is quite an exercise in exploring one's limits.
How did that come about? How did the hosting slip in?
Well, we have a nice place here in Brooklyn, and we have room. We can fit about 35.
Oh, at your place? I wasn't connecting the dots. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we've been doing more and more house concerts across the country, and we even did some in UK a couple of years ago.
Right.
And it's a really wonderful growing scene that's actually sort of an ancient approach to how music used to be made, and you really connect with the audience, and the performers are gets such an intimate connection. It's almost always a great experience. But yeah, like I said, being the host and the performer is well, I mean, we enjoy it enough to keep doing it, but it's pretty intense.
No doubt. No, when you told me that, I was still thinking house concerts being somebody else's home.
Yeah.
So I can see, yeah, I imagine that changes everything. A whole whole different energy variation. So other than the introduction that I've just read, which is essentially what you sent me with the CD, tune us into the new album, man. I like it. I enjoy playing it while I'm being creative, while I'm writing, creating things.
Oh, well, that's quite a compliment. I'm glad to hear it. I'm excited about this record. It's for numerous reasons, but one is that I'm sorry.
I didn't say anything.
Okay. Well, one is that you know, this is my fourth album as a leader, but it's the first time I've done more than one album with the same group, and this trio has been together since late 2004, and you know, we did our first album that came out in 2006 called Rosetta.
Right.
Which is, you know, what gave the group its name.
I had Jamie Foxx on a couple of years ago, and he pointed toward that a little bit.
Oh yeah, yeah. And so it's been great to, you know, we've done a good bit of touring and recording. We've also recorded with my wife Jen, and so I've been able to experience the development of the ensemble, and it just, compared to, as much as I love that first album for what it is, you know, it's such a different experience to work on new material with this band now and then to record it and look back and feel how much growth there's been and how the deeper levels that we're able to operate on.
No doubt. So you feel like it's been a growing from one album to the next, even though they're so completely different. It's, you know, they certainly live on their own, but you still feel like it's been a growth experience from what I'm hearing.
Yes, and certainly they are very different. I mean, the music is coming from a different place. The music for Rosetta was coming from a very specific experience. Really, it was coming from our experience here in New York, living through September 11th.
The
multiple levels of loss that we lived through that day, and then we're really dealing with for months and years afterwards. So that music came straight out of that, and the music for Reclamation is much more, I guess, simply put, it's much more hopeful and forward looking, and
mm-hmm.
a lot of it was written during the run up to the 2008 election, and a sense of reclaiming ourselves, our better selves.
That was very much my feeling at that given time as well. Still is, as a matter of fact, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, and that's always a work in progress, but, multiple levels of reclaiming our better selves and moving forward. And
no doubt. What inspired you, if I may ask, just to go back to the beginning, to create a trio to begin with?
Well, this trio, you know, my first couple of albums, although the music isn't very, is not straight ahead, you wouldn't say, the instrumentation was much more traditional. You know, with the music that came together for that first album, the Rosetta, was so, you know, as I mentioned, it was so emotional and so intense, and
mm-hmm.
I knew I wanted to take a different approach, and I thought of Jamie and Liberty are both two of my favorite musicians, regardless of their instrument,
and I
often, when I make choices about playing with different people, it comes down more to their character and musical character more than the actual instrument.
I can appreciate that. Was Liberty the one I saw you with when you performed at the Halley Center in Apex? I know Jamie was there.
That was Jamie.
I know Jamie was. Oh, that's right. So it wasn't Liberty.
I believe that was. If it was just one guitarist,
there were two people on stage with you. There was
okay.
Jen's
then it probably was Liberty.
I think it
well.
Was. Yeah.
Um, So, you know, these guys, I wanted to invite them over to our studio to begin working on that music. I knew they had never played together. They didn't really know each other, but I had been playing with each of them for years and was good friends with each of them. And I had a hunch that even though they're quite different players, but do share some sources, you know, there's a good overlap, but they're also spreading into different directions. I had a hunch that there would be some really great chemistry between them, and that proved to be true from the beginning, and it's really only deepened since then.
Well, you certainly had it on stage at the Halley Center. I remember particularly enjoying how you got into your groove. You were just taking a journey on that bass.
That's the idea.
Yes, yes. And so you linked up with him, and it sounds like it's been strong ever since.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's interesting to, especially early on, you know, when I talk about the development of the group and enjoying it, it reminds me of how much work we put in early on, not only getting around the music, but getting into the functionality of the ensemble. Because when you take away the drums and you have, you know, two guitars,
that's a big thing to take away.
It is, and it's not, I've been playing in various drumless duos and trios for years, so Jen and I did an album that's just bass and voice, and we toured all over the States like that, so I had some experience with that. But it's, you know, each case is unique, and we took a lot of time working out that sort of, it's like passing the baton, you know, like, okay, well, I'm pushing now so you can pull, and I'm, you know, I'm going to drive this and you can lay back and that, and, you know, but now a lot of that stuff just happens.
Well, the challenge in taking out an acoustic section like that is having to reinvent that rhythm on other levels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liken it to, to playing, like, say, volleyball, where the idea is you're bouncing the rhythm back and forth, and you just don't let it hit the ground.
Yeah, yeah. That's actually a good descriptive on your music, because putting it that way, I know that was subconsciously in my mind when I listened to the album. How it just you kept it afloat. You kept that sucker bouncing. You want to pick a tune and then let us play it, and then we will talk to you about it afterwards.
Well, let's see. You want to start with Memphis?
Might as well, and then we can discuss it at some length and sort of go from there.
Okay, give me a number.
Do you mind staying
number
on?
Number one.
Do you mind staying online for it?
Not at all.
Okay. Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, that was Stefan Crump with the Rosetta Trio, his brand new album, Reclamation. And you heard Liberty Ullman on acoustic guitar, Jamie Foxx on electric guitar, and of course Stefan Crump on acoustic bass. This is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater here in the studio with my co-host Audrey Layden, WCOM 103.5 FM. Back to you, Stefan. That was absolutely beautiful, man.
Absolutely sweet. Very nice.
Thanks so much. Thank you. Yeah, that's called Memphis, and
that's hometown to you.
It is. That's where I'm from, and that was a sort of a sort of goodbye to Memphis, which I'm not really trying to let go of.
I didn't sense a complete letting go. I said it was sort of a goodbye with a couple of hellos worked in.
Well, good. But the idea to the piece is, you know, here's the image. Here's the tune. Now let it drift away. Let it dissolve. Mm-hmm. You know, and so that's the journey we take when we play that.
Now, may I ask, did you write for all the instruments, or did you do it in? Did you do it in a collaborative way?
No, I write. All this music I write, and then depending on how fleshed out the pieces, you know, there's definitely input from the guys on
sure.
on arrangement, and then I mean that piece is basically a structure, a melody, and chord changes, you know, and mm-hmm. all the rest is, you know, once we get through the initial structure, the initial form with the melody and stuff, it just it cycles and then, you know.
That's pretty good because since you don't actually play those instruments, it's a pretty good insight to using them.
Well, I have started to take up the guitar a little bit. I mean, and a lot of the impetus is trying to, you know, part of me wants to get deeper and more specific, you know, with how I write for this group in the future, and then part of me is also reluctant to do so because these guys, you know, I don't want to put too much I don't want to inhibit their contribution because they, you know, they have such strong musicianship and individuality to bring to things. And,
well, I can see that, but I don't think going deeper would in any wise, personally, just my personal view, just from what I've gleaned from Jamie himself, it seems deeper is probably an overall consciousness with all of you.
Mm. Well, that's
on the philosophical bent. Let's just put it that way.
No, I like that.
I know that's what when I do my writings and perform to musical accompaniment and also with symphonies. Philosophically, spiritually, I always try to find a way to take it to a deeper level.
Yeah.
I guess that's more where I'm drawing it from.
Yep.
I mean, why be here if we're not going to go deep into this stuff before we're kicked out?
And be real.
That's
be
right.
Real.
Absolutely.
Real is critical.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Well, pick us another one. I like this little sort of analysis. I don't think we'll have time to run through all of them, but we've got until the end of the hour, so let's just keep on rolling.
Okay.
Pick us
up. You know, let's see. I mean, not to be boring, but could we? I do like how the how syllogism the second track.
Follows up
with number one. Maybe I'll skip around.
Boring doesn't enter into it. No, I just wanted to make you aware. I will gladly play them all, but I think at some point we're going to run out of the time.
Yeah, sure. But I think syllogism gives a good counterpoint to Memphis.
Tell me the meaning of that word for our audiences as well as for me.
I made it up. I think it's one of the two words that I invented on this.
That's funny because I was going to go look that thing up in the dictionary so I could find some use for it.
Well, it's sort of a syllogism and silo, like a grain silo.
Right, okay, gotcha.
It was sort of a political statement. It's like the faulty logic that leads to political pandering to the so-called heartland.
Right. Yeah, so in keeping with Reclamation, absolutely.
Yes.
All right, so we'll put that on as number two, Audrey. Sadagism.
Okay, here we go.
Here comes Sadagism by Stefan Krump with the Rosetta Trio. And
there
that
it
was,
goes.
That was Sadagism on the new album by Stefan Krump with the Rosetta Trio, Reclamation. Back to you, brother. You were quite busy on that one, weren't you?
I guess you could think of it as somewhat of a bass feature.
Yes, I would say so.
But I mean the idea was just to feature a certain feel and the tension between the bass groove as it starts and the very fixed rhythmic figure that Liberty's playing in the acoustic guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And then allow Jamie to just go nuts sonically. Which my favorite parts of any of this are really when I come up with a good opportunity to let either of those guys or both of them just completely play free, because they're just so amazing.
Yeah.
and you never know what you're going to get, but it's always satisfying.
No doubt. I remember originally when I did the interview with Jamie, I was one of the reasons I wanted to talk to him was because he was part of one of my favorite bands early on, which was Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember some of the guitar work in that.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, that was absolutely. So what inspired the word Sadagism? I know it's silos and the whole idea of the political thing was...
Yeah, well, we could get deep into, like, the
subsidies show.
Of
You're talking to the right guy for that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to put you too much on the spot, but it sounds to me like there was some passion that surged forth in that one.
No, it's a fair question. I think one of the things it's just that it's a lot of things. So what issue to raise? But
right,
one thing that I can say is that I think one of the mistakes we make with, say, agricultural policy is that things get defined as protecting. The small farmer, real America, hardworking little guy who's fighting the good fight, when it's actually about huge agricultural corporations and monocultures and...
Absolutely. Audrey and I were talking about that.
Of corn and soy. And, I do a lot of touring around all over this country, and it's... it's frightening when all you see is corn everywhere.
Yes, I know.
And then when the corn stops, it's because there's a new exurb that's sprouted, and lo and behold, it's the same 10 big box stores and restaurants. It's the homogenization of our society on disgusting display, and so
brings George Orwell to mind. More than one way.
And tragically, you know, for us here in New York, it used to be that we would come home from a tour and you know, you would hit Manhattan and it was like an island of reality and authenticity where that encroachment hadn't yet occurred and it was still all individually run businesses I think the 1-2 punch of Giuliani and Bloomberg has done a lot of damage to that, and it's even happening here, you know. So
sadly, it seems like the current political system, or not just the current one, but overall, has absolutely put itself in a groove to support the excesses of the wealthy and really sort of slant an eye toward the regular Joe. And for some reason, that's not changing.
It's
a history of the humankind, unfortunately.
Yes.
Mm.
I guess what really gets me is the fact that in the process of doing this, they're actually destroying the ability of the earth to produce food.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's the use of the land is criminal. And it's been done for comparative economic advantage rather than growing things where they would grow normally.
Yeah.
Putting things into environments that require a lot of artificial support in order to grow them there, they shouldn't be growing there.
Right.
Yeah, it's inefficient, and then you have to use chemicals, and
exactly.
You know, so it's pollutants, and
that's a nightmare.
And it's also, one thing that you just raised there is that it also comes down to food security too. If the you-know-what hits the fan in the various ways that it could, you know, and these supplies are cut off from importing our food from everywhere but here, you know, what are we going to do?
And
I remember years back when I was living up on Long Island at the time, and there was a longshoreman strike. And there were some other strikes going on. In other words, no food was being delivered to Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up having to call in like the National Guard and make like presidential edicts to break the strikes because Manhattan had 2 days' worth of food on the island.
My goodness.
Wow.
I mean, you want to talk about vulnerability.
I
hate to also think of the whole Earth turning into an Easter island.
The thing I keep trying to convey to people, and for some reason I think it's always only partially understood, and that is that we're living on a living planet. This thing is alive, and sooner or later the agitation is going to cause it to respond rather extremely, and I think we're seeing breakouts of that all over the place.
Shake, rattle, and roll. The
That's
Earth
right.
is moving.
And make no mistake, the Earth is in charge.
You know, one of the things that this. You know, to take it back to where this album is coming from, one of the things that is inspiring me in the city, and it's not just in the city, but is a change of, you know, the beginnings of a change of consciousness about this stuff, and the proliferation of bike lanes in New York City and roof gardens,
gardens. Matter of fact, we're in the most bicycle-friendly part of North Carolina right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really not only is it a beautiful thing, but it's an important thing, and
it's time to catch on because Europe has them all over the place. Europe takes that into consideration, whereas the United States doesn't.
Thankfully, get to Europe quite a bit to play as well, and and I'm also, my mother's from France, so I right. grew up traveling over there quite a bit.
And I can tell the influences in some of your music.
That's nice. And, you know, and also looking at how efficient the trains are over there. And,
oh, absolutely.
You know, neither place is perfect, but we have so much to learn from one another, and we do ourselves such a disservice by demonizing Europe and shutting our eyes to so much that they really do have together over there.
I agree. Demonizing where we came from, essentially.
Yes. Well, many of us, yeah.
Yes.
And I guess, it's,
German, Italian here, born over there, so yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's chill things out a little bit.
All right.
And let's do the Leaves of the Rain.
All right, this is the third.
This is a not a political tune. This is just a tune also inspired by walking around my neighborhood in the fall just after a really nice autumnal rainstorm it was in the last light of the day, and
my favorite
the golden and red leaves were wet and flopping down the street in the wind. So
Stefan the Romantic.
Exactly.
It hits home here too. So this is The Leaves, the Rain with the Rosetta Trio, the new album Reclamation, Stefan Crump, Liberty Allman on acoustic guitar, Jamie Fox on electric guitar, and of course Stefan is on acoustic bass. Here we go.
Thank you.
You haven't just mellowed out my day with that one, Stefan. You've mellowed out my whole week.
It's beautiful, man. Absolutely.
That's very nice to hear.
Oh, gorgeous. That's fantastic.
And I want to say this just so that the run of our conversation doesn't cause me not to be able to make the statement. I really appreciate what you stand for, Stephen, on this, and just your
Stefan,
overall Stefan. What am I saying? How dare I?
Okay.
It's like somebody calling me Claude. My name's Claudio. So, Stefan, I just really want to say I appreciate the statement you are making with this.
Well, thank you so much. That means a lot.
And it looks like we've got about another 5 or 6 minutes worth of chatting time, so we may regrettably not have time to play another one, but I'd certainly like to I'd like to talk some more, talk our way out of this.
Let's do that.
Absolutely. So give us some more stuff there on leaves and the leaves, the rain.
Well, the leaves, the rain. Yeah, I was, the idea to much of that tune is sort of the... It's group interaction, and you know, there's different members have different melodic responsibilities here and there, but then there's also a lot of these interludes where we're sort of we're different dust blowing into each other, and then towards the end it grows out of the group thing. It grows into Jamie's solo, which is exquisite.
Yeah.
And which I really enjoyed hearing.
I was telling Audrey while listening to this, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Mozart, because the one thing that Mozart was famous for was no matter what his compositions were, he always left some lingering note throughout, and in your case, it's the bass.
Well, that's nice.
Putting you on a bit of a pedestal there, but it truly is that enjoyable.
Absolutely. It took me right back to New York. I mean, I was just sitting here going, oh.
And I ran a bar on Broadway, so it took me back there, too.
I went to high school at 69th and Lexington 120 years ago. And just thought I would never leave the city, but I like it here.
Good, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's a great place down there. We get down to North Carolina, various areas of the state with my wife Jen.
Do let me know whenever you come, because I'd like to catch you as much as possible.
Absolutely.
So the leaves, that was the leaves, the rain.
The rain.
This is your most recent CD?
Yes, it just came out.
I need to find a way to acquire the others.
Yes.
Well, they're you know, my website is StefanKrumpf.com,
right.
And then you can, you can link each of my four albums are on there, and they're easily linkable from there.
Go ahead and mention all four.
Well, the first one is called Poems and Other Things, which it's poems as in tone poems, so it is an instrumental album, and it's features Chris Cheek on tenor and soprano saxophone, Roberta Pickett on piano, and Rob Garcia on drums. And as I said, a more traditional jazz lineup, but the music is not so traditional. And then the next album also, which is called Tuckahoe, named after the street I grew up on in Memphis. My Memphis continues to be as much a New Yorker as I am now, you know, where I'm from.
You can't shake the roots, babe.
Yeah, which I'm, you know, I'm accepting it. It's, but you know, the further I get, but in my life, you know, it's just more interesting, that perspective on roots.
And, no doubt.
But right, so the second album is called Tuckahoe, also with Chris Cheek on saxophones, and I added Miguel Zenon on alto, and those guys, they're just incredible sparks flying between the two of them. And then Jamie Foxx on guitar and Dan Reeser on drums. So that was a quintet with two saxophones, and a lot of fun, the Tuckahoe album. And then the third one was Rosetta from 2006, which was the first album of this trio with Liberty and Jamie.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I want to say big thanks for being on, and the fact that you've been on the speakeasy at all. I always warn people that makes you part of the family now, so let this not be the first and last time, but just that there's an open door here. I'd love to keep up with your life and with your works. So.
Well, I would love that very much, and that feels good to be invited and included in such a way. Thank you so much.
Well, it's been a genuine pleasure.
And thank you very much for your music. It's beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Pleasure is mine.
I'll be in touch by email. My best to the family.
Thanks. Yes, let's be in touch.
Absolutely.
All the best.
Take care. Cheers.
Bye-bye.
And this is... This is Claudio Speakeasy.
Jumped in too easy. Yeah, too fast there, didn't I?
She's trying to get rid of me here on my own show. Wait a minute. This is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theatre, the literary and all else, where we'll take you from Bohemia to Who Beamed You In and make something of it. Anyway, it was fun having Stefan Crump on, his new album, and being here in the studio with Audrey as usual.
Yes, even if I do turn
even if she tried to ditch me, yes.
Okay.
Until next time, cheers.
Bye-bye.